Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn, please, to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. There is a program on television called Cheaters. Not cheetahs. Cheaters, C-H-E-A-T-E-R-S. It's about people who cheat on their lover, whether it be girlfriend, boyfriend, or spouse. And the show basically is a hire and private investigator to spy on this person. And they film and gather evidence to prove that they're cheating. And then they bring it back to the suspicious lover, show them the evidence, and then they actually confront the cheater with the cheatee. It's a heartbreaking show to watch because it's a very painful revelation. And, you know, there's always an argument, tears, broken heart, etc. But I applaud the courage of the person with the suspicion because they have the courage to find out the truth, no matter how painful it might be. We started a series about 2 months ago called True Religion to investigate the truth of what religions claim to be teaching. We looked at Buddhism, we looked at Islam, today we're going to look at Catholicism. Last week, Kyle talked about Catholicism. Today we're going to finish up. Next week, we're going to have a quiz of all the cultural religions. If you haven't been here for a quiz, trust me, you don't need to know anything coming in. You will know a lot going out. We're going to have a great time. And then the week after that, we're going to start in the book of Mark and go through the book of Mark for the rest of the year. But today, we're going to talk about Catholicism. Now, let's look at our notes. Let's preface it by reading our statement describing and outlining this series. It says, a religion can be defined as a system of beliefs and practices designed to lead someone into a relationship with the supernatural. A major focus of many religions is often life after death. True religion is a series designed to investigate how true the beliefs and promises are for some of the most commonly practiced religions. Question is, how true are some of the things you are told? Now, let me preface this by saying this. I know that many of us in here have been involved in Catholicism. I went to Catholic school for 8 years. Matter of fact, can you see that part in my hair right there? Can you see it? Right there, that line. That's when I was in Catholic school. My mother used to part my hair every day right there, and I can't brush it out after 40-something years. She put that little brew cream on the brother's head and wow, 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 wow. Try to get it to stay because you didn't get little naps up there, so it wasn't laying down all that easy. So I can't get it to go back. Even when I had my afro, I used to have an afro about this big, and you could still see it in the afro because it was like a... By raise of hands, how many of you ever been in any form, present, past, or in Catholic Church? Just raise your hand real high. Look at all the hands. Everyone look around the room. Wow. So I know that many of you, this is going to hit home. So let me preface it by saying this. What I'm going to tell you has nothing to do with you or your Catholic friends. It has everything to do with what we have been told. What I'm going to say has nothing to do with you. It's not condemning you. But what I'm going to do is reveal that some of the things we have been told are wrong. If you get upset, which I'm sure some of you might, don't be upset at me. Even though that's what you want to do, that's fine. I mean, you know, my wife still loves me. I'm going to sleep good tonight. But it doesn't do you any good to get upset at me. What you need to do is find out if what I'm telling you is true. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, I have no problem saying I'm wrong. But if I'm right, you need to go to the person who told you this and find out these things to be true. Number one, in our notes, the Catholic Church teaches that the authority of the church tradition is equal to the authority of Scripture. This is so critical for you to understand that some of the things I'm going to talk about, you've been told and people have believed for a long time and you've accepted as truth, when in fact it is only church tradition and not necessarily Bible. Therefore, it does not have the authority of the Bible according to the Bible. Now, tradition is not necessarily bad. We all have traditions. Traditions are beliefs and practices handed down from generation to generation. On Thanksgiving, what do? You go to grandma's house. She cooks the turkey. Daddy cuts it. You know, and then you watch the Detroit Lions play the Chicago Bears. Then you watch the Dallas Cowboys play the Washington Redskins. And then you go outside. You play the one football game you do all year. You're sore for 20 days. And then you start over again. Amen? That's tradition. That is a great all-American and probably one of the most greatest traditions in the history of the planet Earth, is to do that. Turkey and football. Traditions aren't bad necessarily, but they happen to be simply ideas and or practices handed down. They are not necessarily bad. They are not necessarily good. They just are what they are. But when a tradition contradicts with the Bible and or causes you to contradict the Bible, the tradition is wrong. Let's read Matthew 15, verse 1. It says, the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress tradition of elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered and says, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For the commandment says, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say in your traditions, whoever says to his father or mother, what profit you might have received from me as a gift from God, then he have no need honor his mother or father. Thus you have made your commandment, the commandment of God, of no effect by your tradition. Basically, the Bible says, Jesus is saying, honor your father and mother, but you have a tradition that says you don't need to honor your father and mother. So Jesus is saying when your tradition causes you to contradict the Bible, you are in error. We're going to look some things in the Catholic Church that you have been told, and whether they practice it today or not, whether all practice it or not, all don't practice all this stuff. Every Catholic doesn't necessarily do or believe all these things. That's not the point. The point is what the Catholic Church as an organization teaches, and the basis of the truth from which they work is what I'm referring to. You're going to see that some of these things are anti-Bible or un-Christian, and I say that intentionally. They're not Christian. It's not that it's not only in the Bible, it goes against the Bible. Now, before I go any further, all I'm telling you is what they believe and what the Bible says, the things I'm going to talk about, are in conflict. This is not my opinion. I'm going to show it to you. Don't get mad at me. And the reason I don't want you to get mad at me, because not that I worry about you getting mad at me, I worry about you venting your frustration in the wrong direction. You need to take your frustration to find out the truth, okay? So there are traditions. Traditions. Now, let me give you a little history. Jesus was born. He lived 33 years. He died. The church was started. For 300 years, the church grew and grew and grew and was persecuted. In the year 313, Constantine was the emperor. He decided and he signed the Edict of Milan that said, we will not persecute Christians anymore. Before this, you could take Christians' property. You could kill them, burn them at the stake, whatever you wanted, because they were lower second class. And in 313, the year 313, all of a sudden Christianity was the thing to be in. You got political favors and economic favors and benefits because the emperor became a Christian. And so now everyone wanted to be a Christian because they just wanted to get on the bandwagon and be in the favor of the king. And so the state and Christianity, the church, started to blend together, and all these traditions crept in over 1,000 years. In 1500, around 1500s, Martin Luther was born, and he realized that, you know what, I don't believe in all these rules and traditions, and I am going to oppose them and start what they call the Reformation and the Protestant movement, the protesters. They started to protest against the traditions of the church because the traditions of the church opposed the Bible and put people in bondage. So now you have all these Protestant churches. Because they didn't want to go along with the traditions of the church, because the traditions of the church were not only unbiblical, they put people in bondage. That's a very short, long history in a very short time. So now you have us looking back, and some of you, or many of us here, are involved or were involved in Catholicism, and I just want to give you a little background today on where some of these beliefs come from and why you should never do them. Not that they're not what we would do at The Rock. That's not the point. The point is what the Bible teaches us not to do. I say this emphatically and with passion, because if it was just a matter of going to church at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock or doing communion once a month or every week, those are things of just preference. These are not things of preference, what I'm talking about. These are things that you are blatantly unbiblical to do and blatantly sinful to do. Sinful to do. Please let this prick you and encourage you to find out the truth. Number one, the Catholic Church often offers salvation by works or good deeds, while the Bible teaches salvation by faith. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you're in Matthew, go back about 10 books, Ephesians chapter 2. If it's hard, you look through the Bible, this is how you learn. Just work it out. Work it out. Christianity is the only belief system, religion, that offers salvation by faith. Everyone say faith. Christianity is the only belief system that offers salvation by grace through faith. Every other belief system, including Catholicism, offers salvation by works. What that means is that there's something you have to do to get it. There's something you have to do consistently over and over again to earn it, to pay God back, to deserve it, to work your way up to a status of achieving something. That concept of doing anything to get salvation is completely wrong. In the Old Testament, they had the law. In the Old Testament, you obeyed the law. You sacrificed animals. You did all these things to try to please God. And when Jesus came, he says, you know what? And Paul said, the whole purpose of the law was to show you God's high standard and to show you you can't meet it. No one will be saved by obeying the law, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3. Nobody will be saved by obeying the law or obeying rules because we're sinful. Jesus came, died on the cross, and offers us salvation by faith. You receive salvation, and after you receive salvation, then you go do your good works. But it's not to get salvation, it's to experience and exercise your salvation. Why is this so critical to make a distinction? It's huge. Because if you have this concept that you are doing things to get salvation, you are nullifying Christ's death on the cross. And you are trying to get to heaven on your own. Now, the Catholic Church will say it's you and Christ. Christ did not come to give you partial salvation, that you get the rest on your own. He came to give you complete salvation. And if you have any inkling in your mind that I need to go to church, mass, I need to go to confession, do penance, get communion or the Eucharist, I need to do these things so I can get salvation or please God or get my sins forgiven, that is completely un-Christian. If you have any idea or any thought that you have to do things to get salvation, and that by you going to Mass, you are receiving a little bit more of forgiveness and salvation, by you going to confession, by you taking communion, you are receiving God's grace. Now, there's a thin line. You do experience God when we do all those things, but it's not salvation. That is an un-Christian concept. Now, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Everyone say grace. The definition of grace is undeserved favor. Undeserved. By doing works you are trying to deserve. Opposite. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast and say, look what I did. When you go into a confessional and someone says to you, you go do 5 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers and you'll be absolved from your sin, that is not true. It's not true. That means you are earning your forgiveness. That is not true. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's a lie. It's just not true. Let's think about this. All of us who are Catholic, been to confession? I've been to confession. Amen? Raise your hand. Let's participate here, okay? Bless me, Father, if I have sinned, it's been 9 years since my last confession. Amen? Let's say it's been a week. Do you really think that you are going to remember all the stuff you did? And if you did, would you tell him? Even if that was how you were forgiven, you wouldn't even be forgiven because you wouldn't be telling everything. It's a faulty system. Now, is it wrong to go tell somebody your sins? No. Is it wrong to go pray and ask God to forgive you? No. But is it wrong for you to think that you have to go to that guy and by saying repetition prayers to Mary and Our Fathers and Hail Marys that God's going to forgive you? Most definitely. Most definitely. Let's read in your notes. In your notes. Look what it says. The Catholic Catechism, we can therefore hope in the glory of heaven promised by God to those who love him and do his will. In every circumstance, each one of us should hope with the grace of God to persevere to the end and obtain joy in heaven as God's eternal reward. Everyone say reward. For good works. No, you are not rewarded for good works. Now, again, heaven is not a reward for good works. The reward you get in heaven is a different story. But you are not rewarded in heaven for good works. Let's keep reading. And accomplish with the grace of God. The Catholic Church teaches that God's grace is infused in you when you perform or participate in the sacraments, confession, penance, mass, the Eucharist, confirmation. You are infused with the grace of God. You are infused with salvation. And then your works work along with that grace as you do good things and as you are a good Catholic. You've heard that term before. I'm a good Catholic. He's a good Catholic boy. And when you die, last rites, let's make sure I'm saved. It don't work that way. No one can pray for you and give you salvation. You have to confess your sins to yourself as a sinner to Christ individually. Let me read the next thing. By the way, in the year 1563, when the Reformation happened, all the people started to protest against the church. They started to split from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was the one universal church at the time. And all people started saying it's wrong. And they split away because at the time, they were charging people money for forgiveness, called indulgences. Instead of doing 20 Hail Marys, you could pay money. It was a racket. So people started saying this is wrong. They protested. And the Catholic Church said, before we collapse, let's have a conference called the Council of Trent. It's a town in Italy. It was a 10-year conference. They tried to bring all the people back into the Catholic Church. And they wrote up a document that said, here's what we believe. And this is what they go by today. If you have a conflict, ask a priest this. It says, if anyone shall say that justifying faith or forgiving faith or saving faith is nothing less than confidence in the divine mercy, pardoning sins for Christ's sake, that is, that confidence alone by which we are justified, let him be accursed or anathema. If you say, I am saved by faith alone, which the Bible says the just shall walk by faith. If you believe that, because what they taught was salvation was by faith and works. When Martin Luther broke off, he said, no, we are justified by faith alone. So the Catholic Church says we oppose that and we are going to write, if you believe that you're justified by faith alone, let you be accursed. Well, we teach, the Bible teaches, you're justified by faith alone. So when you are going to Mass and you are going to communion and you are going to confession, Those are the things or how you are getting your salvation. It's works. That's wrong. It's not Christian. Now, am I saying that Catholics aren't Christians or not Christians? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. Whatever you refer to yourself, if you believe that you get salvation by doing works, you are not saved that way. The Bible teaches that salvation does not come by works. It comes by faith. The works come after. Why is that critical for you? Why is that a big deal? Because your whole life you will live in bondage if you don't know that. You will live in bondage to, I have to do this. I have to go to Mass. I have to go to confession. I have to do this because I know I'm sinning. I got to get right with God. That is an un-Christian concept. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether you're saved or not, hey, you're gonna have to deal with God on that one. But Jesus Christ came, said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, period. Not, I'm only going to give you a little bit and then you got to keep working it out. That is wrong. Now, go ask your priest. Please go ask your priest. Number two, by the way, let me read. One of the things they tell you to do is to do Hail Marys over and over and over again. Let me read something to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. You can write that down if you want to look it up later. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, for your Father who sees you in secret will reward you in public. When you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You do not want to go to God and think, if I say 20 prayers of the same repetitious pre-designed prayer, I'm going to get more of God than if I say 10. Now, you may feel better. You may feel better. And you may feel better. I know people go to church here and they go to Catholic church because they like the formality. You may feel better. That's fine. It ain't about feeling, though. God is Dad. Dad wants relationship. Dad wants fellowship. Dad wants your heart. Dad does not want a robot. Over and over. Because as you're saying this Hail Mary, you know what he's saying? Tell me what you really feel. Tell me what you really, that's what I want. I want relationship. I don't want religion. Where you have to come and do a prescribed thing to a man and then hopefully he's going to go to God and everything's going to be cool. God says, I want to have a relationship with you. That's why I came and lived 33 years in the flesh so I can identify with you. So when you pray, I understand the Bible says, I am Jesus. I'm not a high priest who doesn't understand your pain. I was tempted in every way like you were, and I never sinned. Therefore, come to the throne of grace with confidence that they say you shouldn't have, that I will forgive you. And the Catholic Church is saying, you can't have that confidence. You got to keep doing good things. It's opposite of what the Bible says. Now, am I saying that the Catholic Church is opposite of what the Bible says? I'm not saying that. I'm telling you that those teachings that I'm referring to right now are opposite to what the Bible says. And it's tradition, and it's not biblical. Next one. One of the ways. Number three. Catholic Church leads people into idolatry. While the Bible teaches that idolatry is sin. Turn to Exodus, second book of the Bible, verse 20. Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. Everyone say idolatry. Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. And by the way, do the Ten Commandments, should we still obey them today? Yes, because they're repeated in the New Testament. You should not lie, you should not steal, you should not commit murder, you should not covet, you should not commit adultery, etc., 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 etc. You should not have any graven image and worship any god, which is the first commandment, which is what we're going to look at. But let me read to you what idolatry means. Because every one of us who's Catholic has committed idolatry in the Catholic Church. If you've been in one, it's probably impossible for you not to have done this in one form or another. And if you haven't, praise God. Let me read it to you. The definition of idolatry, in a general sense, idolatry is the paying of divine honor to any created thing, the ascription of divine power to any natural agency, Anytime you pray to anything or look to anything to do anything supernatural for you, you are ascribing to it divine power. That is idolatry, unless that thing is God. It says, idolatry may be classified as follows. Worship of any inanimate object, such as stones, rivers, trees, etc. Animals of any higher powers of nature, such as the sun, moon, stars, forces of nature. Anytime you worship anything other than God. And by the way, horoscope is the occult. It's Satanism. Y'all who read your horoscope, what you're saying to the stars tell me my life. You're looking to the stars for supernatural wisdom and guidance in your life. It is completely 100% entry level, first grade Satanism. It is. Oh, okay. This is my job. I'm just trying to help you out. Cigarettes is entry-level drug abuse. Now, am I saying if you smoke cigarettes, you're not going to heaven? No. I'm not saying if you smoke cigarettes, you're going to go to hell. You will smell like you've been there. But I'm not saying you're not Christian. For real, people get saved, they got a smoking issue. The longer they walk with God, the more likely they're going to stop smoking cigarettes. It's a process. So I'm not saying if you're smoking cigarettes, you're going to go to hell and you can't come to church. But what I'm saying, it's entry-level drug abuse. More people die of cigarettes than all drugs combined. More people, cigarettes and alcohol, the two legal drugs in this country, kill more people than all drugs combined. Why are they legal? Politics. Not reality. Politics. Tradition. That's all. Don't be deceived by that. Devil's smart. He's a mastermind. But let me keep reading. Idolatry may be classified as follows. The worship of inanimate objects, sun, moon, stars, etc. And the worship of heroes, hero worship, or deceased ancestors. Anytime you kneel down and you look to a statue or pray to Mary or pray to a saint, you are sinning. Whew. I'm getting ready to leave. Don't leave. I'm going to be done in 10 minutes. You can leave there with everybody else. Anytime you pray. Well, Mary's Jesus' mother. And your point is. Show me and ask your priest where in this Bible it has any hint at all that Mary is supposed to receive prayers, can even hear your prayers, and has the power and authority to answer your prayers or even give your prayers to Jesus, her son. Show me anywhere in this Bible it says anything close to that. Jesus Christ is the only, Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the only God, the only people you should ever pray to, period, end of story. And if you bow down to anything else, matter of fact, read Exodus. Forget my opinion. Exodus chapter 20. From lying and flying. Look what it says in verse 1. Verse 1. God spoke to all these words. This is the Ten Commandments, by the way. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of the bondage. I am the Lord, Jehovah God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, nobody else. And it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image. An idol, a statue in a church is a carved image. Any likeness in anything in heaven above, the earth beneath, and the water under the earth. Now let me see what he says. Anything, say anything. In heaven, on earth, and in the water. Where else is there? He wants it to be crystal clear. Don't make any image. Any image. Look what it says in verse 5. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, and jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers and children to the third and fourth generation. You shall not bow down and pray to them. Now, in the Catholic Youth Bible, they took that verse out. They took out where it says graven image. Why? Because they violate it. I'm not saying the Catholic Church is bad, but these are bad things. Never pray to Mary. She was not a virgin her whole life. Oh, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And as you turn it, let me say this. Just because he wasn't a virgin means nothing about her being blessed. She's still the virgin mother when Christ was conceived. She was still a virgin when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, that was a miracle. She's still a wonderful person. She still was blessed of the Lord. That none of that changes. But when you traditionally elevate her to a status she shouldn't be in, then all of a sudden you start to impose on her requirements that are not biblical and not fair. She had at least 7 children. At least. You'll see it. It's very, very clear. Matthew 13, verse 55. Let's go to 53. Now, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? He went to where they knew him. And they said, how does he know this stuff? Verse 55, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. How many is that? How many is that? And if Jesus is another son, how many is that? Okay, so that's 5 right there. And then it says, and his sisters, are they all not with us? Now, if there was only 2, they might say, aren't they both with us? It doesn't really matter. 2, 3, 4, 5, it doesn't matter. She had at least 7 kids. But if I said all, I would think that would be a minimum of 3 sisters. It doesn't matter. 2 sisters, 1 sister, no sisters. He had 4 brothers. What's the point? That she wasn't a virgin her whole life. What's the point? Nothing. Other than what you've been taught is wrong. Because tradition says we need to pray to Mary. She's a virgin. She's blessed. She can answer your prayers. And all that is not true. And it is sin to practice praying to Mary. They used to say, they don't anymore, that Mary could redeem your soul. She was like Jesus, a co-redeemer. I'm trying to think of the word to describe how ridiculous and unbiblical and anti-biblical that is. To say that anything can save you like Jesus. And again, we're talking thousands of years of tradition, steeped in our heart, hardcore Catholics praying. And could they be praying wrongly? Ask the priest to prove it to you from the Bible. And if he shows you that they took it out of the Bible, say, so you're telling me you changed the 10 Commandments? And if he tells you the Pope and or the Vatican, and I'm only saying this because I don't know who did it, authorized the changing of God's word to obey their tradition, oh my goodness. That's what the Jehovah's Witness did to the Bible. They changed it to agree with their new theology. B, in your Bible, in your notes, neither Mary nor so-called saints can act as mediator between you and God. Mediator between you and God. Turn to 1 Timothy. Again, it's in the back of the Bible. Go about 10 books back. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Nobody is a mediator between you and God. I am not your mediator. I am a mouthpiece to point you to Jesus. You need to get Jesus on your own. You do not come to me so I can go to God on your behalf and then come back and you tell you what to do. That is not my role. My role is to point you to Jesus and help you get to Jesus. When I tell you to pray and tell you to read your Bible, all I'm encouraging you to do is to do what's going to get you into the presence of God. But if you come to pray to me so I can go do something for you on your behalf in heaven or any saint, that is absolutely sinful to do. It's traditional. In the Catholic Church, it is not biblical. It is unbiblical. You should not do it. It is deceiving you. It is giving you a completely wrong view of Christianity. It is unchristian. Those are very hard words. Go talk to your priest. Look what it says, 1 Timothy, verse 5. There was one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Jesus Christ is the only one who died for our sin, rose from our dead, who claimed to be God, who claimed to be Savior. We had a whole series on Jesus' identity. If you weren't here, we got the whole tape series in the back. It talks all about Christ's identity as our Redeemer, as our Savior, as our Messiah, the only one, how his critics confirmed, his disciples confirmed it, the devil and the demons confirmed it, he confirmed it, the God confirmed it, the Holy Spirit all confirmed it. It's in this series that he is God. Never anywhere in the Bible there is no hint anywhere that anybody else is not only Savior, but mediator between you and the Father, only Jesus Christ. Any other doctrine that says to you to pray to anybody else is idolatry. It is sin. It is sin. You need to repent of doing praying to an idol. You need to repent. It's wrong. It's wrong. Number C. Neither Mary nor the saints can receive or answer your prayers. Acts 4:12, there's only one name under heaven by which we may be saved. Only one. Now, if they tell you when you go to the priest, they say, well, then it's not really salvation. They're really doing this. Whatever they tell you that the saints and Mary are doing for you, that may be different than what I'm saying, all you have to do is ask him, am I praying to that saint? Show me why it's not idolatry and show me in the Bible where they can do anything for me. They can't. They can't. Now, they have added books to their Bible. They've changed at least that verse in the Bible. If they start doing that stuff, then all bets are off. You got a different book. They can't. It's not right. Number four, and then we'll end with this one. The Catholic Church tradition offers the false hope of purgatory to cleanse unforgiven sins, while the Bible teaches that Jesus alone is forgiver of all sin. Now, you may be saying, I don't believe in purgatory. I don't believe in that. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about you. I said that in the beginning. I'm talking about what they're teaching. I'm talking about the foundation of their truth, the foundation of what they're leading you into. And why is it critical for you to understand? Because if you're going there, let me tell you something. You will never distinguish the two. You can't. That's all you know. And you're going to go in there and go to Mass, and, oh, I'm getting God, I'm getting God, I'm getting salvation, I'm doing my penance, I'm getting forgiven. You're not getting forgiven for doing your penance. Purgatory, the belief. Well, let's read it. Look in your notes. This is, according to their catechism, describe purgatory. It is a place where you go to be purified before you go to heaven if you die when all your sins not forgiven. According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1030, all who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified. Stop. How could God's grace and friendship with God, how could I not be completely purified? Jesus said, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, that he would separate my sin as far as the east is from the west, that he would remember my sin no more, that he would make me as white as snow spiritually. Well, how could all those verses say I'm completely forgiven and Christ died to pay for all my sin and yet I die still unforgiven? How could that be true? If that is true, then this whole gospel thing is wrong and we're not saved. This is completely wrong. You cannot be forgiven yet be unforgiven. It's a contradiction in and of itself. Let's keep reading. It says, in quotes, all who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter into the joy of heaven. So you are going to go someplace else to achieve holiness so you can go to heaven. Let's keep reading the last sentence. This process of purification occurs in a place designated by the Catholic Church, not the Bible, as purgatory. This is not true. There is no such place. There is no such process. You praying to saints, lighting a candle for the dead is completely wrong. It's sin to pray to an idol. It is wrong to pray for dead people. You're not doing them any good. Their fate is determined. The Bible says it's appointed for a man to die one time and face God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One or the other, you don't go to any place. It is completely wrong. Now, when Martin Luther in the 1500s, rebelled. At the time, you would do penance. You would go to a priest, and they would say, do 10 Hail Marys for your mother in purgatory. And you would do 10 Hail Marys, and you would do that every day to get her out of purgatory. And then they came with this concept that if you pay money, you don't have to do as many prayers. Matter of fact, there's a quote. Let me, if I can find it. It's a quote. It said, Basically, the guy who was collecting the indulgences says, as soon as your money hits the bottom of the box, your mother's soul jumps out of purgatory. So they were just taking people's money, saying, well, pay for my sin. That is completely sinful and anti-Christian, wrong, ridiculous, not of God. Am I saying the Catholic Church is all those things? No. Am I saying that you are all those things? No. What I'm saying is that those particular beliefs, which are pretty foundational to their existence, are those things. You need to find out what the implications of those things are. And by the way, these are only four or five things that you know about today. What I'm saying to you is this. Check these things out, because they are in conflict with the Bible. It's one thing to say, I go to church every morning, and we have Mass every morning, versus church once on a Sunday, like us. Those are just differences in method. No big deal. It's another thing to say that I believe my salvation is achieved this way when the Bible says salvation is achieved this way. When I pray to an idol, and the Bible says praying to an idol is sin. When I say my soul is going to be in purgatory, getting purified because Jesus Christ didn't forgive me and cleanse me enough, when the Bible says he absolutely did. Those are huge, huge issues. And you need to not accept blatantly, blindly, that tradition says these things are true and the Catholic Church can't possibly be wrong. Please take that out of your vocabulary. Everything's negotiable. And by the way, there's only one Holy Father, and he ain't in Rome. Holy Father? Oh, it's just a term. But when you start kissing rings and bowing down, danger. Danger. Now, Catholic Church has been around a long time. It's a very powerful institution. And little old me, who am I? I'm nobody. Zero. I'm a flea. For real. But my God, that's all I need. You want to be real careful that when you die, you are not trusting in somebody told you that was not God's word. Because these things I just described to you are not God's word. They contradict God's word. And so you are making a choice that you are going to deny the truth of God's word to believe tradition. That is a very dangerous decision. Let me pray for you. And y'all got to get out of here. If you are mad right now, please take your vengeance out on your efforts to find out the truth. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. I pray, Holy Spirit, you open people's eyes, open their hearts. I pray that you show them the truth. Free them, liberate them, that they may know you and have a relationship with you. If you would like Jesus to be your Savior, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I can't forgive myself or earn forgiveness. Jesus, please forgive me. I acknowledge you are the only true God. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want salvation this morning. If you prayed that prayer and you just want Jesus to forgive you this morning once and for all, just raise your hand up real high and let me pray for you. Raise your hand up real high. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 God bless all of you. Very good. God bless you. Lord, I pray you bless those people. I pray you set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Very, very briefly, when I first heard the gospel, I was 19 years old. I had smoked weed all that day. I was in a grocery store, a department store, and these two white hippies came up to me. I say white hippies because we were in a black neighborhood, and it was late at night, and I was wondering why they were there. So I was watching them. Long beards, holy jeans, looking like hippies. They were hippies. They came up to me, beat up, jacked up Bibles, and they, in 5 minutes, shared the gospel with me. I knew it because I had gone to Catholic school. But the thing that was different was relationship. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I prayed right there. Right there. The whole store. I started crying. My girlfriend was, she was getting off work. I was getting ready to go spend the night and have sex and get out. And I was like, whoa. It was that simple. Hopefully everything you've learned has led you to the point where now you can do that. When you leave today, and y'all really do got to go because we got another service. When you go through the lobby, there's a room to the left. If you raise your hand, you want to talk to somebody about what you did, please go in that room. There's going to be people sitting in there for you. But I really need to get you out because of traffic. So right now, all stand to your feet and just start walking.